The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Sydney Ellen of KROS in Clinton and Joe Benedict of the Daily Gate City in Keokuk. Sydney, can you start us off with a question for Senator Grassley?
All right, I'm going to start out here by just asking, what is your stance on the Iowa, the Senate File 167, the bill about overturning some things with the protections governing child labor?
When you say Senate file, that sounds like a state legislative bill.
Yes. I was wondering what your stance on that was.
I only follow federal legislation. I can't give you an opinion on a state legislative bill because I never read it and will probably never read it. One way I do keep up a little bit on the state legislature, because it interests me very much because it affects me as an Iowa citizen, is through what I read through newspapers or see on television, but that's about it. That's as deep as I get into it. Joe, you're next.
The Supreme Court's looking at the student loan forgiveness cases, and you're probably against the cancellation of those, but could you get on board with something like lowering the interest rates to maybe zero to help out people with these loans?
Well, I'm already been a part of a decision on interest rates. We've tied interest rates on guaranteed student loans to the Treasury bill. So when the Treasury bill's up, it goes up, and when the Treasury bill's down, it goes down. And that way, it was before then, it was never predictable what the interest rate would be. Now it's very predictable, and I think that is satisfying the needs of people today. But there is something we can do about a high tuition and high borrowing costs. And one would be the federal government ought to do something about fantastic increases in tuition. Over the last 30 years, 3 times the rate of inflation. Just think how low interest rates would be if they only went up the rate of inflation each year. 3 times is unjustified. And then I have 3 bills in that would help students better understand the cost of their schools, and I'll explain just one of them. One of them would make sure that if you apply to a half a dozen different colleges that you're going to want to go to, you get 6 different answers of what it's going to cost, and so you can't compare College A with College B and know exactly what the difference is in cost. So we ought to have the same letters of acceptance going out from each school. So when you get one from College A and it says it's going to cost X number of dollars and cost College B X number of dollars, if one's $1,000 more in tuition than the other one, then you know it's only $1,000. You don't know that today. Let's go back to Sydney.
Coming off of education here, with the Students First Act that passed, do you think that that is going to help Iowa get back to being number one in education?
Well, I only know about that what I read through the newspapers, and I'll give you an opinion based upon what I'm hearing from parents. They are dissatisfied with the way some schools are being run. They can't do anything about it, but the Student First bill will give them an opportunity to find another school if they want it. So it's not about necessarily improving the students' ability in certain math. It's talking about parents having a choice to where they want to send their kids to school. And you would assume that if they're dissatisfied with one school, they're going to send their kids to another school where they think they're going to get a better education. Pretty simple. And it kind of boils down to this, if you'd let me add kind of a editorial comment. Do kids belong to the state or do they belong to the parents? And I think everybody would agree that if you got kids, they belong to the parents for a choice, not to the states that dictate to the parents. Joe.
I got an email from your office last week about protecting IRS whistleblowers, and you've been against hiring more agents for the IRS. Wouldn't hiring more people kind of cut out the need for the whistleblower?
No, because what the whistleblowers bring forth to the IRS is something that presumably the IRS would never know about. So what you're talking about is a legislation that I got passed 17 years ago that encourages people that know that a corporation haven't paid all their taxes or the right amount of taxes, and you report that to the IRS, and the IRS finds out that the whistleblower is right, then the whistleblower gets paid part of what the government recoups. And this has brought in $6 billion. Now, the bill you're talking about is trying to address some of the things that this program isn't working entirely the way that I wanted it to. So it's going to improve, for instance, making the IRS make a decision sooner. It takes an average of 10 years to get a decision on this money being owed or not. And the whistleblower has to wait to find out whether he's has given the right information. And that's even gone from 10 years to 11 years. And we got to speed this process up. That's what that's all about. And the legislation is meant to upgrade a very successful bill, because I got a bill passed that has brought in $6 billion that the IRS didn't know anything about. Sydney.
All right. I just wanted to ask you about this bill that you are working on to require the Attorney General to propose a program for making treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder available to public safety officers and for other purposes.
Yeah. Now, you know, we already have a program like that for almost 50 years, where a family for a person that's killed in action, a policeman or fireman or other emergency people killed in the line of duty, a certain amount of money that the family gets because that person died in the line of duty. Well, there's a lot of people maybe don't die in the line of duty, but if they got this post-traumatic distress syndrome and maybe they die or commit suicide a year later, then there's no benefit for that. And then we want to get some help for these families to make sure that they don't get into a situation where they're considering suicide as well. Joe?
Recently, there's a report about COVID perhaps escaping from a lab in China. If that was found out to be true, what could the U.S. government do about it?
Well, if it is true, you can't do much about it, but it'd be nice to say that the communist government of China has lied to us, because they want you to believe it went from animal to human beings. And I have always thought it came out of the laboratory, and every bit of evidence that I've seen points towards it coming out of the laboratory. Now we have the FBI and the U.S. Department of Energy saying that they have the probability it came from the laboratory. All you read about it being transferred from animal to human beings has none of the evidence that backs up coming out of the Wuhan laboratory. So I think that time will tell. We've still got some other government agencies that are investigating it. But when you have the FBI and the Department of Energy, and remember the Department of Energy supervises about 9 laboratories around the country, you know, they've got some expertise that can really weigh in on this. And it seems to me that we're moving quickly to a consensus. If the rest of the agencies don't move so fast, that it came from Wuhan, because families who lost people to COVID deserve to know. In fact, U.S. taxpayers' money went to this Wuhan lab, and the taxpayers need to know what their money's been used for. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sydney and Joe, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.